Well, welcome back to the podcast. Today we've got a start to a new series. We have our friend and travel agent, Carrie Garcia, on the phone with us, and we are hoping to talk about Disney, some Disney news, and just see where that conversation goes.
Yeah, so I guess in a couple of weeks, we're going to be heading on a trip. We won't get into too much details of what that trip is, because we'll do that in on upcoming podcasts. So, but like I said, we have our friend Carrie on the phone here, and she's going to give us an update of what's going on in Disney, and then getting to a little bit more detail about Epcot, because that's one of the parks that we'll be going to. So. I guess, hey, Carrie, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself? Did we lose her?
I think I lost you for a second there. It got really quiet.
Okay. All right, good. We're there. So, I guess what I was saying is, if you want to go ahead and quickly, or, you know, not necessarily quickly, but introduce yourself and,
I am Carrie Garcia. And I am a authorized Disney travel planner with the Magic for Less Travel. And although I'm an authorized Disney travel planner, I can also book all sorts of travel. And I'm excited to help you guys and talk about Disney and what's going on, and specifically, you know, Epcot too, since you guys will be visiting there.
Yeah, so we're only going to be there for actually a day, mm-hmm. right? So I guess the biggest thing for us is, how do we maximize our day, specifically at Epcot, since that's what we'll be doing?
Well, I always recommend that guests arrive early, because that is the best way to take advantage of the lower crowds and be able to ride and see all that you want to see. So I do highly recommend arriving early. You guys are staying on property, so you do have early access, early park admission, 30 minutes early before those with just tickets or those staying off property can enter.
And that 30 minutes is due to the time of the year, correct?
It's new. It used to be only certain days and certain times and things like that for different parks. But now for on-property guests, it's 30 minutes early at every park every day, which is really nice. And you wouldn't think that 30 minutes would make a huge difference, but it really does. You're able to get to areas of the park before people can even enter those gates. And that's a huge jump. You're able to ride at least, you know, one or two rides before, you know, those that are not staying on property get to enter.
So I guess specifically for Epcot, what are those? There's a couple of popular rides at Epcot. So with that additional 30 minutes, where should someone head first?
Well, and that greatly depends on whether or not you would like to purchase individual Lightning Lane attractions or Genie Plus ride attractions. Those are some new tools that Disney has released. The individual Lightning Lane attractions are a pay-per-skip the line on the Lightning Lanes. And so you can select from Remy's Ratatouille, which is brand new, and also Frozen Ever After. So if you're interested in those two rides, you can purchase an individual Lightning Lane where you're able to skip the line on that ride. And then there's also a Genie Plus that you can purchase for $15 per person. And that you'll be able to select one ride at a time to skip the line in the Lightning Lane from a list of rides. If you didn't have either of those things, then I would highly recommend going to Remy's first. Mm-hmm. Remy's being brand new is still highly popular. And then, you know, of course, I love Test Track and Soarin'. Those are super popular as well.
What is that one that I like?
The Living Earth?
Living with the Land.
Living with the Land. Basically just chilling out in a boat. And
yeah, it's a great place to take a rest.
Yeah, especially when it's hot outside. So it's a good place to, yeah, to basically just relax and learn, really.
That's a fun one.
It's kind of like going to Magic Kingdom and riding the People Mover.
Yes, I love the People
Mover. Yeah, that one I don't understand.
At night. I really like riding it at night because, that area in Tomorrowland is so cool at night.
Yeah. That's a good point. Oh man, I forgot. So Remy's, that's definitely one that I would like to go on.
Soarin'.
Soarin'. I totally forgot about Frozen. You said Frozen Ever After, right?
Yes, Frozen Ever After.
And then Test Track. I forgot about Test Track. Yeah. I forgot those were all at Epcot. Huh.
Yes. We also have, Mission Space,
sure.
Spaceship Burgers, Journey into Imagination with Figment. The seas. So lots of different rides. I just think, if you're wanting to avoid the lines, the big ones there are definitely Remy's, Test Track, and Soarin' are those lines can get long. So best to ride those as early as possible if you can, or take advantage of the Genie Plus, or I know you guys are really excited about seeing all of the festival things. Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So currently, and I don't remember the dates of when it starts, but what is Festival of the Arts that's going on right now?
Yes. The Epcot International Festival of the Arts. And it is going on now through February 21st.
Right.
And, there are tons of fun things to do. There are art stations where you can watch artists. They can also sell their art. There's even places for you to get in on the art. So there are, paint by number murals that you can, put your little mark on the festival and do some paint by number, which is really fun. And then there's tons of photo opportunities as well, where you can actually kind of put yourself in a masterpiece and take fun photos. So if you want to, place yourself in there, there's tons of photo opportunities there. And then there's different art experiences all around. There's culinary art that you can taste, and there's live performances with artists as well as a Broadway concert series happening. In the American Pavilion.
So we were watching, Kyle Palo the other day? And Carrie, you just mentioned something about culinary art. And remember, Claire, that Kyle was walking around with a, where you put paint on... it was a cookie.
Oh, like a palette?
Oh, a palette. Yeah, yeah, paint palette. Yeah. It was a cookie. Yeah, with cookie. And he even had the paintbrush and all. I don't know if the paintbrush was actually editable, but that actually looked pretty interesting. But yeah, there's, like you said, there's a lot of other Broadway shows that's going on. I don't remember which one will be happening when we're there, but I guess we'll be there mid-February.
Yeah, the 20th has the Lion King and Aladdin going on.
Oh, cool.
The 21st has kind of a special finale performance. Ashley Brown, Josh Strickland, Kissy Simmons, and Michael James Scott. So a bunch of big Broadway names presenting, of course, Disney Broadway music. So it's kind of a lot of people think it's just visual arts, but there are lots of other interesting things to see and do there.
Yeah, that'd be exciting to see and experience. So I guess go ahead.
There's lots of great dishes to try. Claire and I know that gluten-free dishes are good. All of the gluten-free things will be marked GF, and so you'll know right away. You can also, you know, adjust things. So like they have, one of the things they have is a deconstructed BLT. So obviously you could, you know, order that without the bread. So there's different ways that you can adjust things, but each of the kiosks, as well as any quick service locations, will be able to share those menus with you. And there's even, if you guys do some mobile ordering for food, there's a new allergy tab when you do mobile ordering, and you're able to select gluten-free and look at specific gluten-free items, or you can go to the quick service location and take a look at their binder. Each location has a binder. They do that because, you know, the suppliers can change up. And so something that may have been gluten-free before might not be now. And so they have a running binder that you can take a look at and talk to them to maybe adjust different foods to order.
Yeah, from everything that I've read, it sounds like the chefs at Disney are very accommodating to food sensitivities and allergies. And so that's really comforting to go, to be able to go to a place and know that you can comfortably eat and not have that impact your experience.
Exactly. And they do their best, you know, whenever you do order specifically from those foods on the allergy menu. And again, you can choose gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free, nut-free. When you look at those items, they do their best to actually prepare those items separately so that there's not cross-contamination. They can only control what they, you know, what they are doing. They can't control where those items came from, sure. But they do their best to keep that to a minimum for those guests with sensitivities or allergies.
That's awesome.
So we were talking about lines and all that. And obviously we just went through all the holiday season for the most part. And again, mid-February, from what I understand, Carrie, isn't that like part of the low peak season at Disney?
Yes, it can be. Now they do have some, the last weekend in February, they have the Princess Marathon, half marathon.
Oh, yeah.
And so they do try to kind of put some events in. It can also be a little busier President's Day weekend, you know, any of those 3-day weekends when kids are out of school. It can get kind of off and on busy, and festival times during the weekend can be a little busier. But Epcot's so big and so spread out, so it's easy kind of, and people are there to not only enjoy the rides, but, you know, enjoy the festival as well. So, everybody kind of spreads out. I don't feel like Epcot is one of those parks that you feel super crowded in. But I do think, you know, the rides first thing in the morning are always best to avoid those long wait times. But watch it throughout the day too, because you know, the wait times fluctuate, of course.
Now, Carrie, you are probably our resident Disney expert, and I have been to Disney definitely a lot more than I have. So what is your favorite ride at Epcot?
Okay, well, I haven't had a chance to ride Remy's yet. And I'm really looking forward to trying that out. So if we take that out of it, just because I haven't had the opportunity to ride it, I would probably say Test Track. It used to be Soarin', but now that they have Flight of Passage over at Animal Kingdom, that is my all-time favorite ride right now at Disney. So I think Test Track kind of wins my top pick for Epcot. So
what
we'll
about,
see if usurps that.
No, I'm like I said earlier, I'm excited about seeing Remy. Seen a lot of YouTubers try to post that on their video and show it. So pretty excited to hopefully get on that ride. Hopefully it's not broken, because that's always frustrating. You're there for, you know, however long, whether it's a week or even a day, like we will, and the ride you want to go on is like done.
Down.
Yeah. But it happens.
I was so upset when Katie and I, my daughter, went on a girls' trip, and our only day in Hollywood Studios, Rise of the Resistance had lightning.
No way.
And of course, that was the like number one ride that I wanted to experience. And it was down the whole day, and that was it. So we had to wait until my next visit to experience that. So that was kind of a bummer.
What else? So we talked about our favorite ride. What about your favorite country at Epcot?
That can be a tough one because there's so many things in each country that I like to make sure and do and see. You know, like I love to go get gelato over in Italy.
Ooh.
And limoncellos, right? I love margaritas in Mexico. I have to get a funnel cake in the American Pavilion. Goodness, that is a tough one. What is y'all's favorite country?
I haven't been in 20 years.
After your visit, right?
Yes, I'll let you know.
You know, I don't know.
I love the drummers.
Yes.
You know, over
Japan. Is that in Japan?
Yes. So I think there's different things in each country. If I had to pick one just off the bat, I think that I would probably choose Mexico. I love the Three Caballeros ride, the little boat ride inside the pyramid. And I love the margaritas over there. The cucumber margarita is fantastic.
That sounds good.
Well, we're definitely big margarita fans. Yeah. So we'll probably take a beeline for Mexico, it appears. So, okay.
And also, I know in Mexico, all three of the offerings for the Festival of Arts Pavilion for the food are already gluten-free.
So oh, really?
That's great.
Oh, cool. So Miguel and I, the other day, so Miguel's Carrie's husband, I guess I call him Miguel. We call him Miguel, but you call him Mickey.
We do, yes. He was introduced to me as Mickey, which is hilarious considering, you know.
Right.
But it's not related to the mouse.
It's Mickey.
So yeah, we were talking about this yesterday, about I guess going around the world, but specifically drinking around the world. And it seems crazy because like you were saying earlier, Epcot's huge, right? So and there's so many different countries represented in Epcot, and in each country you can get, you know, different types of food and I guess what I'm getting at is drinks and all the different types of mixed drinks they offer or beer for that specific country. And there's this whole thing about, what is it, Carrie? Drinking around the world? Is that what people call it?
Yes. Yes. And just having a different beverage in each country. I will say, you might try sharing because I never quite make it all the way around drink anymore. That's why I like the festivals too, is because some of the offerings that you have, like during food and wine in the fall, are smaller. So you're able to kind of have a beverage. And I've decided that I can't start in Mexico whenever I do this because I love the cucumber margarita. But that margarita is super strong.
Have to save up for it.
So then, you know, I go to Norway and I'm like, I can't drink anything else right now. And then, you know, it takes a few more countries before I can get around to have something else.
That's actually a good point. I don't know though. I may want to start big because then I have time, right, to wear it off.
That is true. You can walk it off around
there. Two different mentalities.
But then again, if I wait towards the end, then maybe I won't have the capacity for some, for you know, that favorite drink at the end. So I don't know. Let's think about that.
But yeah, there are people who have their favorites. You'll find tons of, you know, things online with everybody's favorites. But yeah, that cucumber margarita. There's also in France, it's oh goodness, what's it called? It's like a Grand Marnier slush.
That sounds dangerous.
It's so good. And the limoncello in Italy is really good too.
So I actually don't know this. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't know about Epcot and Disney, but what about how many countries are actually represented at Epcot?
Oh goodness. Only because let's see.
We stumped her.
Yes. I should know this. There's 11. 11. Okay. I don't know why for a second there I was like 12, but there's been talk of adding, of course, more.
Yeah.
There's space to add more. They haven't done that, but it'll be interesting to see if they do. You know, they've been reworking the front and you know, there's construction walls and things of that nature all around the front, although a lot more and more things are opening. You know, there have been huge delays in construction for the pandemic and everything, and so like Guardians of the Galaxy has been kind of delayed. We're hopeful that it's open soon, but
do they have an expected finish date yet on that one?
They don't on that one. Huh. You know, it's been significantly delayed from what they thought. Now Tron in Magic Kingdom is supposed to open this summer, so
And Tron is right next to in Tomorrowland, right?
Yes, right next to
Space Mountain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now that ride looks pretty sweet.
It does,
or at least the renderings that you can see right now. Yeah. But didn't they open up a Tron in one of the other Disneys?
Yes, I think it's in Shanghai.
Okay.
Ah, yeah. Huh. So I guess if you want a preview,
mm-hmm. you can go to Shanghai.
Drop drop both of them.
It's in Shanghai Rope Disneyland. Drop. You can actually see videos, you know, online. I know that you know, not everyone is into the intense rides. So I always recommend guests who are a little nervous about certain rides, you know, you can watch full ride point of view.
That'd be good
videos on YouTube. So
there's a lot of people that do those POV mm-hmm. Videos on specific rides, or all the rides really.
Yeah, we were talking about if we made shirts for Disney, that mine would say I'm here for the snacks, and Michael's would say I'm here for the rides. So
you can enjoy both.
Yeah, I think we'll have a happy medium.
Oh no, at Epcot, mine would probably say I'm here for the drinks. So 11 countries.
So 11 drinks is a lot, but if you spread it out is. Throughout the day.
Man, you'd have to be there all day long and have to split most, if not all. But
make sure you eat.
And Uber. Or I guess we're staying on property, so that doesn't matter.
That's and eat, right. Yes.
You don't have to walk too far to the Skyliner station since you guys are staying at Pop Century.
Yeah, so... Let's get into that, because Pop Century, I've never stayed at. I know it's one of the popular on property resorts, if you would. Yeah, very budget friendly. And again, we're only there for a day. So that was kind of our goal and intent, right? Is to since we're not going to be spending time, really, we just need a place to put our head down at the end of the day. So we found, Carrie helped us find Pop Century at a good budget, you know.
Comparatively
to most others, yeah. So
it's a very popular value resort, and it is even more popular now that it is on the Skyliner.
Right.
So the Skyliner is, for those who don't know, it's gondolas that will take you to certain locations in certain parks. So specifically to Hollywood Studios and Epcot from certain resorts. And it has really made those resorts very popular.
Yeah.
It is very difficult sometimes to find, you know, anytime you have an alternative transportation, although the buses work great. If you have an alternative, like the monorail or the boats for the boardwalk or beach and yacht club, then, you know, it just adds something to your stay, I think. So the Skyliner access is huge, just to be able to go and walk and hop on a gondola and be there in just, you know, a few minutes.
Yeah.
It has been great.
Yeah, it just helps with convenience because the monorail's great, but then those are the resorts on the monorail are
they come with a bigger price tag.
Yeah, they do.
Properties.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're some of the most expensive properties on property.
Which is what? The Grand Floridian, Contemporary, Polynesian. Yeah.
Yeah.
So all really nice resorts, but yeah, like you said, that definitely comes with a price tag. Kingdom,
which is great for, you know, if you have littles and are going to spend a lot of your time there. That's a great thing. Once I know where a guest wants to spend a lot of their time, like for you guys, being on the Skyliner is so convenient to get to mm-hmm. Epcot. Also the Boardwalk Beach and Yacht Club, you know, if I know a guest is going to Food and Wine, for instance, you know, those are properties that I recommend because it's walking distance, you know, to Epcot. And so, I kind of take folks through that process, you know, if they know which parks they want to visit, it helps to narrow down, you know, obviously we take into account budget and
sure.
things like that. The other properties on the Skyliner are the Disney's Art of Animation, which is another value resort, but they're family mm-hmm. suites. So they can sleep bigger parties. They sleep up to six. And then the Caribbean Beach Resort, which is one of the moderate resorts, and the Riviera Resort, which is one of the new villa resorts, one of the new Disney Vacation Clubs. It's beautiful. I don't know if you've seen pictures of it. It is just gorgeous.
Huh. And you're making
the Pop Century super fun.
Making us want to consider upgrading.
It's only one night.
You'll pass
yeah.
by it on your way to Epcot so you can admire it.
No, I mean, like I said, we're only there for a night, so we'll barely going to be experiencing Pop Century, but yeah. I guess yeah the biggest thing for us was trying to find something budget friendly access via the Skyliner, if that's one of the things. I know all of them are on the on property or on the bus right system.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's some outside of the property that are connected to the bus system too, but
there are, yeah, there are definitely a few. Certain hotels in Disney Springs
right.
have continuous bus, and then there are also hotels maybe a little bit further out that have like scheduled transportation, not quite as convenient as the continuous, you know.
Yeah,
transport.
Right. But so that's what we looked at first, was staying at Disney Springs,
mm-hmm.
not at Disney Springs, but at a hotel.
Yeah.
Outside of property by Disney Springs, and it was also on the bus system. I think it was a Hilton, Carrie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, there's a DoubleTree.
Right.
There's Resort. There's several in the Disney Springs area. A Wyndham. There's a Wyndham over there that's included. So there's some good options for guests. You do lose some of the benefits, you know, of the on property. You know, you lose the early morning or the early park admission. You lose some of those benefits, but being able to make your Genie Plus selections at 7 a.m. instead of having to wait for park opening. So there are definitely some benefits to staying on property. And, you know, I like the value resorts. You know, they're super budget friendly, and now you have more for drinks and snacks around Epcot.
Perfect.
Yes, definitely.
Now, after our one day and night in Disney, we'll be heading to the airport to fly out back home. So what is going to be the best way for us to get to the airport?
So there's several different ways. You know, Disney has discontinued their Magical Express that used to be complimentary. Mm-hmm. Mears, the company that actually drove the Magical Express, does have bus service, so we could do that. Starting in February, this is kind of a fun one for kids, maybe not so much for an adult trip, but they have something called the Sunshine Flyer, and it's train themed bus service. And then we can also set up private transfers, and they're not as pricey as you might think. So we could set up private transfers. There's several companies that we like to work with. And of course, you always have the option of Uber or Lyft, you know, which is convenient in the Orlando area. There's tons of drivers available all the time. So
I guess anyone flying in and out, you could, of Disney, if you will, is the Orlando International Airport, right?
I do recommend that airport. There is another airport that mainly Allegiant flies into called Sanford Airport, but it is pretty far from Disney, and the options there for transfers are a little more limited.
Mm-hmm. So how far is the airport from Disney property? So
it takes about 30 minutes.
30 minutes? Okay.
Not bad.
That's really not bad at all. Now that I remember, I don't remember noticing like being that close. I don't remember seeing airplanes going passing by.
You know, I never really thought about that, but I wonder if their flight plan just doesn't take them.
I wouldn't be surprised if you're not allowed to fly over it.
No fly zone area.
Disney has like air rights.
Yeah. Okay, so 30 minutes is really not that. I thought it was a lot further than that, but and then there's others that that would be coming from Port Canaveral, right? They're just jumping off a cruise or even beforehand going to visiting Disney and then going on a cruise, and a lot of them leaving out of Port Canaveral. So how far is that?
So it's about an hour.
Yeah, okay.
You actually pass the airport on the way by it. So I have some guests that like they do the transfers back to the, like, especially when Magical Express was in service. Now this may change people's options, but oftentimes they would take the transfer from the cruise line back to the airport and then hop on Magical Express and go the rest of the way. But of course now it may be better to just do some private transfers. And of course eventually, and of course this has been delayed as well, there's going to be a train from the airport to Disney Springs area.
Awesome.
Really?
Yes. So I'm really excited about that.
That'd be neat.
To see what happens, you know, when that actually gets built. But again, you know, the pandemic kind of delayed all that.
Of course.
Delayed many things, but is what it is.
Well, Carrie, do you have anything else?
I did want to tell you, Claire, because I know that you love, and I'm going to say it wrong, But I know you love macaron.
Yes.
They are gluten-free.
I did see that. And I read that you can also make an ice cream sandwich out of them in France. So I told Michael we have to do that.
Yeah, that'd be... There was something, Claire, that you sent me the other day. Was it at Pop Century?
Yeah, it was Pop Century. It was a barbecue sandwich, but the gluten-free bun looked really good.
And that was at Pop Century?
Is that the actual resort? Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, they have a lot of great options there. Another thing for you guys to know is you were so close to the Art of Animation food court as well. And so you literally can walk over the bridge. Art of Animation and Pop share the same Skyliner station.
Oh,
okay.
And so if you wanted to try something, you know, over there food wise, you could definitely do that. Super close.
That's good to know.
That might be a good option. Because we don't have, I mean, I assume you wouldn't need a reservation.
No. So yeah, it's just a mobile quick service order.
That reminds me, because we talked about this with you, Carrie, about making reservations while we're there, right? At certain restaurants. And we opted out of that because we're going to be, again, going to Epcot and trying all the different foods at the booth and wherever. In all the different countries. So we're like, okay, well, if we're going to be trying all these different types of foods, might be too full to do a nice reservation somewhere. I guess with that said, though, for others, what would be, I guess, your recommendation on a couple of different restaurants to definitely worth looking into making a reservation at?
Sure, yeah. And there's tons of great quick service. You guys are going to have fun. I'm trying out different foods from all of the countries and everything. As far as table service, of course, the brand new one, highly coveted reservation right now is Space 220. You take a special space elevator and you eat in space. It's pretty cool. They do have a Space 220 lounge too, if you just wanted to try out. They have some really cool looking cocktails. And unfortunately, on my last visit, they had just opened, but they were not taking reservations. It was kind of a first come, first serve. And I was there with some friends that we wanted to enjoy all of the countries and everything and not spend, you know, too long in line.
Sure.
So we skipped it on this visit. But so I haven't had the opportunity to have that myself, but it's high on my list to try. I love, and my kids love, the Garden Grill. It is a character dining location, but it's served family style. And, you know, you mentioned the Living with the Land. It's the rotating restaurant in the Land Pavilion.
Okay.
Yes. And so you can actually see parts of the ride.
You're right.
You can actually look up in the ride and see the restaurant. But we love the food there is amazing. And of course, you know, being able to meet Chip and Dale and Mickey and Pluto can be fun too. They're having, you know, modified character dining at the moment. They kind of stand at a distance, you know, normally you can hug them, get autographs and all that kind of stuff. But right now they're obviously keeping their social distance, but they still interact with the table and you can take selfies and all of that. So that is a great one. There's so many great places to eat at Epcot. I love Beer Garden, which is over in Germany. I like German food. Do y'all like, I don't know if that's something. I know, you know, they have some great Japanese places to eat, like Teppanito, kind of the Benihanas.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Another one I have not tried myself, but everybody talks about it, is over in Morocco, the Spice Road Table. That's on my list.
Interesting. We've seen a lot of YouTubers visiting Morocco, and they're using this. I don't remember what it's called. That little
tagine.
Is it the tagine?
I think so.
The little funny ceramic thing
with the funnel on it.
Yeah. Guess we need to try Morocco. Yeah, it's it's very interesting. And it's mainly to like a certain way to cook vegetables or something like that. Yeah. But it's like this pyramid looking thing with a hole at the top, and you put it over what, fire?
Mm-hmm.
So somehow it, like, I don't know.
I think it's a slow roast.
Okay. Vegetables. Yeah. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's cool. I thought you were talking about a sauce. You're talking about
Yeah. I always want to call it tahine because of the spice. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's tagine.
Well, we mainly use tahine on the margarita rim.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's
so many places to try. So many table service. Oh, Via Napoli too, over in Italy, is a really popular spot.
Gosh, you're just talking about ones at Epcot.
Yeah.
Yes, like there's so many great restaurants there.
Goodness, and there's obviously other places that everybody can go to, and in all the different parks, and even at the resorts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and at Disney Springs too. They have been putting
That's a whole different conversation. And they've done a lot of renovation in the past couple of years, expanding and all that.
Yes. The first time I visited after, you know, they kind of moved things around, I was so confused. I was like, man, this is so much bigger than it was, in the way that you can get to places different ways. And so it's definitely fun too. Obviously with a one night stay, it's going to be hard to.
Yeah. That'd be impossible.
I think that's why I like Disney though. Cause every time I go, I get to, and I've been a lot, you know, but every time I go, I get to experience something new or try something new. But I still get to have fun and do some of my favorites too. So,
yeah. So definitely after our trip, we're going to have to get you back on here and do more of a debrief of our experience at Epcot, and even at Pop Century too. Mm-hmm. And kind of, you know, do a little bit more of a deep dive on that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about your experience and what you guys like.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe we have other recommendations that you can mention to some of your other clients. But what else is there? I mean, I guess we really only talked about Epcot today. And that's partly because that's where we're going to be going in the next couple weeks. But I mean, we could break this up into doing updates on a park each time, or even Disney Springs that we talked about, even talking about all the different resorts in more detail. So I guess we'll do this with Carrie, once a month?
I'd love to come back.
And yeah.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And what we'll do is we'll put Carrie's information down in the description, whether you're looking, watching this on YouTube or finding it on our podcast through, what do we have, Spotify,
Apple
Podcast, Google Podcast. So we'll have it in the description down there. So yeah, definitely recommend reaching out to Carrie. And she'll definitely help out with Disney and any other trips that you're planning, whether it's a cruise or all-inclusive resorts and anything like that. She'll definitely be happy to help. And it correct me if I'm wrong, Carrie, but it's a free service basically to anybody that inquires and books through you, right?
Absolutely. We are a no-fee agency. And so there are no extra fees. And in fact, our pricing is exactly the same as if you go on. We are just here to assist you through the planning process. And Disney can be there, you know, a little overwhelming for guests. There are so many choices and so many things to do, you know, park pass reservations and Genie Plus and all these places to eat that we talked about.
Yeah.
So many choices, and it can be very overwhelming. And so we're here to help make sure to kind of craft a vacation that that best fits what the guest is hoping to, you know, accomplish. It can be different for different people. You know, you guys are going to enjoy the festival and adult time. And so it'll be different than someone who, you know, is going to take their kids to Magic Kingdom for the first time. Or so, you know, I mean, it's just different for everyone. So it's kind of fun to be able to make sure that we craft something that is specific for each guest. So I really enjoy doing this.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of work. Definitely makes it a lot easier on us.
Yeah.
Especially right now where there's, you know, the unknown, right, of all these different places and things canceling. Mm-hmm. So having to cancel, rebook, and whatever of that nature. So, having Carrie to help with that is awesome.
Being there for guests, you know, who, you know, need to change at the last minute because they got sick or you know, things like that. Having someone to call, you know, I've felt very blessed that I've been able to help guests who have needed to make last minute changes and been able to assist them when they're already in a stressful, you know, situation.
Yeah.
So I've loved being able to be there for them. And you know, reschedule their visit if need be. So.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we don't want to take up too much of your time.
I'm so excited. It'll be fun.
No, this was a lot of fun, and obviously we're excited about the trip. And definitely want to touch base with you after the fact and go through that. So, but again, really appreciate it jumping on the call with us.
And all your help getting our trip squared away, and we're really excited.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being on. So we'll definitely catch you back in a little while.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Carrie. Appreciate it. Hopefully you guys enjoyed our Disney update on this podcast. We obviously are going on a trip in a couple of weeks, so we'll won't say too much else about it.
Yeah, more to come on that.
Yeah, there's definitely more to come. So if you guys enjoyed watching this, listening to this, we do hope to do this once a month and talk about all the different whether different parks at Disney, even talk about, you know, other types of ways of traveling, if you will, and spending vacation. So hopefully to do that once a month and talk about that, because that's something that we're definitely interested in, right, is trips and vacations. So this will be one avenue that we'll be able to do that. But what else we have for today?
I think that's it.
That's it?
Yeah, that's all we had planned.
All right, guys. Again, if you enjoyed this this podcast on YouTube, hit the like button down below and subscribe, and then you know, follow us on the other podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and if you want to search for us there, it's Life with Claire and Michael, and on YouTube where it's Claire and Michael. So definitely check us out, and we'll catch you guys in the next one.
See you later.
See ya.